Welcome to the Watoto Church podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Well, I want to welcome all of you who are joining us online, on air, for our Watoto Church service. I know you are going to be blessed. Now, I'm really, really excited that today I get to share God's word with my wife, Vanita. Before we dive into it, I'd like Vanita to tell us what she does here at Watoto Church.
Thank you, Jules. Indeed, I'm very excited to be sharing God's word today together with my husband, Jules. Here at Watoto, I actually serve alongside Jules, but more specifically, I oversee the ministry to the ladies of Watoto, and we call that sisterhood. And I do this with the support of all the other pastors' wives. I also oversee our ministry of neighborhood, which reaches out to the most vulnerable women in our community. And by the grace of God, over the years, we have been able to reach out to over 5,000 women whom we have restored to dignity here in Kampala, in Gulu, and Juba, South Sudan.
That's amazing. But there's one thing you've missed, sweetie.
Oh, yes. I have the most wonderful privilege of also being the wife to this awesome gentleman. And together, we have three beautiful babies who call me Mommy.
That's awesome. Well, we're in the middle of a series, Thriving Family. And today we're going to talk about a very important subject, and that is handling conflict. So let's pray and dive into God's word. Now, Father, I ask you to bless your word, bless everyone that hears it, and may your word bring change and transformation, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, conflicts are a part of every relationship. Why? We are different. People are different. We have unique personalities, different tastes and preferences, and that brings about conflict. But the ultimate cause of conflicts in our relationships is actually our fallen nature. And that nature is very selfish. To just study a conflict a little bit, we'll go to the book of Genesis, chapter 3. That's when we see how conflict came into the human race. In chapter 1, God creates a beautiful world. Chapter 2, God entrusts Adam with a helpmate, Eve, and everything was great. Then chapter 3, sin gets into the picture. Adam and Eve fail God and conflict begins. There's a conflict between human beings and God, a separation that results in a conflict between Adam and Eve. In fact, Adam blamed God for giving him Eve, and then Eve also blamed the serpent. And that's how conflict was introduced into the human race through sin. Now, our fallen nature deals with conflict in various ways. We've just seen the one of passing on blame. But also, our fallen nature deals with conflict by being aggressive. In the recent past, we've had lots of reports on domestic violence because people do not know how to handle conflict. Or people become very manipulative and they begin to tell lies in order to avoid conflict, or they begin to cover up conflict, pretend there's nothing that's wrong. But all these approaches to handling conflict do not work. They are counterproductive if we want to build thriving families and thriving relationships. Now, here is the thing, my friends. We do not need to be victims to our fallen nature. God has provided a solution through his son, Jesus, who came and died to redeem us from our fallen nature and give us a Christ-like nature that handles conflict God's way. Thriving families know how to handle conflicts, and they do it God's way.
That's right, Jules. But even though we've been married 11 years and we've been happily married, this paradise of ours hasn't been without times of conflict. I'm particularly reminded of one time right at the beginning of our marriage when we were all lovey-dovey and we went to the kitchen to cook what was probably our first meal together. And right there, we had our first major conflict over chopping tomatoes. My dear Jules here was trying to teach me how to chop tomatoes the right way, and I perceived that as an attack against my abilities as a woman in the kitchen. Needless to say, I showed him the door. Now, at that point, we didn't handle conflict well, but I thank God for his grace. I need to say this. Conflict does not have to be a bad thing, especially if it is navigated the right way. In fact, it can help you build healthy, strong, and happy families if you handle it right. But something I need you to remember all through this message is that the way we handle conflict will either make or break our families and relationships.
That's absolutely true. And the Bible gives us principles on how to handle conflict. Paul, an apostle in the Bible, faced so much conflict personally in his life, in his ministry, but he also helped resolve lots of conflicts in the churches that he planted. And so he writes to the churches in Rome, giving them instructions on how to handle conflict within the church and also conflict as a result of persecution. So Romans chapter 12 from verses 9 to 21. Here's what Paul says. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love, Paul says, and honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, Paul says, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Wow, what an amazing portion of scripture. And today we want to share out of this scripture five principles that will enable us to handle conflict so we can have thriving families, but also thriving relationships. Now, you are either in the middle of a conflict right now, or maybe you have just come through a conflict and you may have not handled it well, or sooner or later, you'll get into a conflict. These principles will enable you to handle conflict God's way. And so, sweetie, let's jump into it right now.
Right. The first principle to remember when we're handling conflict is that we must be sincere. In Romans 12:9, Paul tells us, love must be sincere. To be sincere means that you're totally honest, both with yourself and the other person. So first of all, it's important that we are honest with ourselves and we identify the real issue that is causing us conflict. And it's also important to acknowledge the feelings that we carry, whether it's anger, whether it's insecurity or uncertainty or resentment. It's important to acknowledge those feelings. We should also be honest enough and acknowledge our contribution to this particular conflict. When we're done with that, we need to express these same feelings and thoughts to the other person. Now, something that I know that is typical of a lot of us, especially the women, is that when you're going through conflict, a woman will go around the house, she's not saying much, she's looking gloomy, and then the other person asks, are you okay? And the answer is, I'm fine. What's wrong? Nothing, you know? Praise God for the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, my dear Jules here understands exactly what I'm talking about.
But you know what, sweetie? It's not just the women who do that. For the men, the way we go through this is we decide to withdraw and get into what we call a man cave. And we just try to process things that way and even get into distractions, go on our phones, on our computers, to just distract ourselves from facing this very issue of being sincere.
But instead of bottling these feelings up, because it can be very destructive, it is better that we find a way to express them in a respectful way to the other person. Using statements like, I feel hurt when you do this, or this makes me feel like this, are very helpful to us in expressing our feelings in a very loving way. Unexpressed emotions can be very harmful and dangerous to our relationships because they end up resulting in emotional detachment, distancing, cold wars, and after being bottled up for a while, you end up exploding and this will cause more hurt to the relationship. Now, I recognize that having conversations around emotional issues is not always comfortable, especially so for the men, you know, but I encourage you, regardless of this, we must take the time and commit to expressing our emotions the right way. And as you do it, actually, over time, it gets easier. I must remind you, love must be sincere.
That's right.
And then the second principle that we need to practice when we are handling conflict is to honor one another. Paul in Romans 12:10 says, honor one another above yourselves. Respecting the other person's feelings or thoughts is important even when you don't understand them. You know, just because you don't understand my feelings doesn't mean they are not real. They're actually very real to me. And so even when you don't understand, respect them. You know, things like dismissing those feelings, downplaying them, or undermining them can only hurt the person and cause them to feel resentful towards you. What we should instead do is seek to understand the other person before you understood. You know, it is very honoring when you take the time and effort to appreciate what the other person is saying and feeling. Honoring other people when you're having conflict also means that you do not attack their character. Now, I know of scenarios where people resort to yelling and name-calling and using abusive language or being very critical of the other person and emotionally abusive. That is very dishonoring and will not help you to resolve that conflict. Instead, when we are handling conflict, let's resolve to be honoring. Like we learned last week, let's use our words to build, not to tear down. Let us speak gently with kindness and say the truth with love. Respect and honor will create a safe and healthy environment to handle conflict God's way.
That's pretty powerful, sweetie. And principle number three is this. Be patient when it comes to handling conflict. Romans 12:12 says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Some matters that we're dealing with when we have a conflict cannot be resolved quickly or as immediately as we would like. And that's why we need to practice patience. We process things differently. Some people take a longer time, other people take a shorter time, but we need to exercise patience when we are dealing with conflict. You see, if you rush through issues, you might actually crash. I remember one time we had a conflict over what satellite TV provider we would use when we were first married. And there was one who had come into the country and had actually gotten the rights to show the Premier League, the English Premier League, and they had a promotion. So I told my wife, we need to get it while the promotion is still on. But she said, let's be patient. You know, the other satellite TV provider has better packages, and so let's wait and let's get that one. But somehow I pushed my way through, and I ended up getting that particular satellite TV provider. I remember getting it and setting it up on a Friday. And lo and behold, Saturday news, that satellite TV provider had been shut down. Oh boy, you need to know how I felt. I've learned something as we've been married over 10 years now, 11 years actually. Men, let's listen to our wives. Sometimes they will tell us not to do certain things and may not even have a logical reason why, but God has blessed them with a certain sense in which they sense things that may not be right with a particular issue. And so let's practice being patient at such times.
And I need to say something to the ladies. I know in such scenarios, the temptation to tell the person, "I told you so," is so high. But let us resist it, because that poor guy is already beating himself up enough. Instead, let's use it as an opportunity to be patient with them and extend grace, because that will take the relationship so much further.
That's absolutely right. Now listen, friends, never make decisions that are very major to your lives under pressure, because you'll make the wrong decisions. But what do you do in instances where you need to make a decision which has some timelines to it? Here's what I advise you to do. Set for yourselves maybe a couple family timelines. Say maybe let's come back to this issue in a day or two, and then wait patiently for that time so you can resolve it. But don't jump into making major decisions. Now, while you are waiting, listen, my friends, guys, do not be grumpy around the house. Ladies, do not become a nagging wife during that time. Here's what Paul says we need to do. The verse we read, in that time, be joyful in hope that you're going to make a better decision, but also faithful in prayer during that time. God gives direction. And then the fourth, which is our second last principle we are talking about today, is seek for harmony. Romans 12 and verse 16 says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Now, when we face conflict, we usually approach it like a battle. We usually think in terms of, I must win, I have to be right, my way must go through. And what that does, it sets us up for argument to defend our positions. Now, please remember, the other person is not your enemy just because they have a different point of view. Seeking harmony means bring the different points of view together, objectively evaluate those options so that you come out with a better choice that will do good for the family, not just for an individual. So doing that kind of process, objectively evaluating your opinions, actually gives you a win-win situation. I think of it like music. When different people bring their different voices together and they sing together, there's a beautiful harmony that comes out of it, and it's sweet music to the ear. When you hear the instruments like we had worship today, they all play together and the result is amazing. That's what living in harmony means. We bring our different voices so we create a beautiful sound. And living in harmony means we also want to live in peace. Romans 12 verse 18 says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Live at peace with everyone. I had a joke of a couple that had been married for a long time, and a friend came and asked them, how have you managed to be happy? And the husband told this gentleman that, you know, a long time ago we decided that in our house and in our family, the man makes the big decisions and the woman makes the small decisions. So he inquired a little more. He said, so what does it look like? And so he said, you know, my wife makes decisions on small issues like which car we should buy, how much money we should save, where we should invest, where we should live, where the kids would go for school, and how we can manage our budgets. And those are the decisions that my wife makes. And all are decided by her, and I just agree to it. So the gentleman wondered, so what do you do in the relationships? What decisions do you make? Said, I make very big decisions. I mean, issues around how governments around the world can recover economically after the pandemic. You know, I make big decisions like when the Premier League should be open to spectators or which player should be bought for whatever team. And he said, and we have never had an argument because she agrees with all my decisions. Now, that may seem very funny, but it carries an important principle when it comes to living in harmony. Set a framework for decision making. Decide who makes which decisions and trust them. If it comes to finances, set parameters on how you manage your finances. Maybe beyond a certain threshold, you need to have a conversation before you spend. In case you encounter a dead end, practice the principle of patience. But if it does, it's not really a big issue. Learn to let go so that you can live in harmony.
Very good, Jules. And our fifth and final principle that is just as important when you're handling conflict is do not take revenge, but choose to do good. In Romans 12:19, Paul reminds us, do not take revenge, my dear friends. Sometimes conflict can be very tough and it can really grieve you and hurt you. And oftentimes you have a sense of wanting to seek justice. You know, you want the other person to also feel the pain that you have felt. Jesus warned us against revenge and he said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth has never built a relationship. And in Romans 12:17, Paul again urges us and he says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. So instead, we need to choose to do good. We need to forgive and bless. Forgiving means you give up any resentment and the desire to punish. Now, this is easier said than done in reality. For a lot of us, when someone has hurt you and offended you, you know, even though you might say, I forgive you, in your heart, you're plotting 100 different ways of how you can cause their downfall. And should you hear of any misfortune that has happened to them, usually in your heart, you'll be rejoicing and saying, they deserve it, you know? But that's not what Jesus wants us to do. I'm reminded of a time in the Bible when one of Jesus' disciples asked him, Master, how many times should we forgive? I believe this disciple was looking for a way out. But Jesus said, we need to forgive 70 times 7 times. That means on all occasions, as much as it depends on us, we need to choose to forgive. Now, when we choose to forgive, that means that instead we do good. Doing good means you show kindness to the other person. You wish them the best sincerely from your heart. You pray for them. Should you hear of any misfortune that has befallen them, you actually can offer to help. If you're a couple, being kind and using simple gestures like kind touch and speaking words of love and affirmation will go a long way in building that relationship. You know, saying things like, even though we are in conflict, I love you and I'm committed to this marriage. That will go a long way in affirming the other person. Or saying things like, I know you're God's gift to me from above, and I know that we will get through this together. That will instead help the other person to also work harder to resolve that conflict. And it's true, Jules, you're God's gift to me.
Thank you.
I love you. So let's make the effort to do good and build the other person. I really love the way Paul puts it in Romans 12:20-21, when he says, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but instead overcome evil with good. As I conclude this principle, I think Joseph's story is a very good illustration for this. Now, Joseph was a young man, and his brothers really mistreated him and sold him into slavery, where he suffered for a while, but eventually the tables turned, and he was raised to a place of prominence and power. And then his brothers came to him needing help. Now, that would have been a great opportunity for him to revenge and mistreat them and pay back for all the pain they had caused him. But instead, what did Joseph do? He chose to forgive them. He chose to embrace them. He chose to provide for them. And he even gave them a home in his new country. That's the way any of us should act in times of conflict. Overcome evil with good. Now, remember this. Acting in revenge will never solve conflict. Instead, it's like trying to put out a fire by pouring fuel on it.
Wow, that's profound. It's amazing. Well, let me finalize by going through those five principles again for you. Number one, be sincere when you're handling conflicts. Number two, honor each other. Number three, be patient. Number four, seek for harmony. And number five, do not take revenge, but choose to do good. When you apply these principles in any conflict, I promise you, you are going to build healthy relationships. You will have a great family. Now, I know there are some situations that are actually complicated and very tough. In such situations, I want to encourage you, find someone else, a third party, a trusted person, your pastor, your best man, matron, someone who shares your same values and who has your best interests at heart, and ask them to come alongside you. You know, the Bible says, and this is our final scripture, Proverbs 11:14, it says, where there is no wise, intelligent guidance, the people fall and go off course like a sheep without a helm, without a steering wheel. But in the abundance of wise and godly counselors, there is victory. My friends, there is no conflict that is too big for you. You can have the victory. Why? God is on your side. That's now, right. We want to conclude by praying, and I'm going to ask Vanita to pray for you, because some of you are in real difficult situations of conflict right now, and we just want to take a moment and pray for you.
Loving Father, you know the hearts of your children. So for everyone who's listening to us today, Lord, would you search their hearts and know their anxious thoughts? And Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you come in their midst? Would you come and be the mediator? Would you come and be the wise counselor? And Lord, where there's brokenness, where there's pain, where there's hurt, would you bring healing? Would you bring reconciliation? And Father, would you give them wisdom to resolve this conflict? All for your glory, in Jesus' name.
Amen. If you're watching us today or listening to us and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are missing out on the best life, a life of salvation. And so I want to invite you to make that decision to follow Jesus today. Just simply repeat this prayer after me. Say, dear Jesus, I thank you that you love me. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Make me a child of God. In your name I pray. Amen. If you pray that prayer, you are now born again. You are a child of God and you are part of the family of God. Welcome, my friend. We would love to support you in this decision. Would you click the link right below your screen so someone can get in touch with you? You can also write to us at connect@watotochurch.com and we will be in touch with you. Or please send a message to the number that you are seeing on your screen. I am so excited about the decision that you made. It's been a joy sharing God's word with you today.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.